Mr. Johnson will continue with the hearing.
Okay, Mr. Flores, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, so you pretty much told us, you know, I think everything you had to say, but as we come up on a conclusion, is there anything else relevant to the case you'd like to say to this board before we go into discussion, sir?
Yes, there's a couple of things. I'd like to, where is that at? I'd like to clarify, you know, a matter that, you know, that as I can see was false and misleading information that was stated to the board at my last hearing. It has to do with my disciplinary. I sat down with the disciplinary coordinator and after my last hearing, and it was mentioned at this board, and I'm pretty sure it, you guys had to believe that you said, well, we missed something. It was stated that I had been found guilty for drugs and also weapons and busted with weapons in the institution. Well, that was not correct. They could find nothing in my disciplinary history as far as weapons go, but there was a... It was a narcotics possession charge, and I was found not guilty on that. And that was way back in 1987. And it was stated that these things happened, and I'm quite sure over all these years of attending these hearings that the board would have noticed that and even asked me about that. That's why I was so surprised that it was mentioned by the people who spoke at the last hearing. And also, they said that I don't sound as sincere, but they've never, no one's ever attended my hearings as far as someone voicing opposition to my release. And this came to mind last year, earlier this year. I said, I really don't know if the board believes how sincere I am about everything. You know, how can I do this? When I was with the governor and asked him, would he accept my sincere apology on behalf of the state of Arizona as the governor for all the things that I've done wrong in my life to the people in the state? And he wrote back and he accepted that apology. He said, well, in fact, he said after the fall, he came back from the governor's office of constituent engagement. And it was just said in the letter that he never had a person write a letter like that to him before. But I am deeply sincere about being out in the world, doing the right thing. Ever since my walk began with Christ, it's been difficult. But the things that I'm seeing now that's going on out there in the world, you know, I'm hurt by it. It bothers me tremendously. I mean, I don't think you guys understand that. That's for me. I don't know what about anybody else. But it bothers me that these things are happening the way it's happening. But I don't know if it's part of a plan. I can't say what it is. But this is how I am sincere about it. Like I said, if I ever get out again, I can't be a contributor to that. I cannot do it, and I will not do it. I don't know what it's going to take for you, this board, to believe how sincere and how sad I am that I allowed my voice to cause me to come back into this institution. But even that had to be corrected, you know, because I know that you pick up languages in this place. You pick up attitudes in this place. There's so much, you know, complaining and judgmental people, you know, now in the institution. I sometimes say, I don't know why they have staff here, because people are now coming into prison wanting to be judge, jury, and executioner on other people and judging people and things like that. I can't do that because, as I tell one person, I've tried to make amends to everybody that I've harmed in every kind of way, especially by going out here and not reoffending, especially by going out here maintaining employment, especially going out here keeping residents, same residents, keeping family intact, and not doing anything that's going to reflect bad on the people who gave me freedom. That I refuse to do. And I said I would never do that. And so far, that part of me is held up. And I hope the board will acknowledge that, even though I haven't seen that, that they look at that as a plus for anybody that's done time and walking out of here, because I see guys coming back. I see. But we charge this guy, it's not. I don't get it, but what they do is not what I'm concerned about. It's what I have to do. It's what I have to do. And a lot of people don't, ask me why I'm going through this class. I have nothing else to do. Or why I'm reading this book. I don't have anything else to do. And that's what I do. I don't just sit here and allow myself to become even more involved in the VA. And if that's what the board thinks that's going to happen with me, I'm going to go back I'm going to get deeper into the behavior of this institution. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I've ignored a lot of people. I tell them, how you live your life here, if it's not in peace, I don't deal with it. I just don't. I'd rather lay in my bunk and read or go to like the guy was telling me yesterday, they have a ASU professor comes down here, a philosophy professor, and she teaches a class every 90 days. And he said, the reason I go to that class, just to hear some intelligent conversation. And that was what I was there for, she asked if I was going to write a term paper, and I told her I'll write one the next class, next month, but from here, God willing, I'm not, but that's why I go, because that's the only place that I can get on a daily basis an intelligent conversation, and that's what I do as far as passing my time in this institution. I stay in contact with my family, my kids, my nieces, my nephews. I'm the only one in my whole family that's incarcerated. I have a lot of family that's out here. But all I want to do, and I'll never be that perfect person, as long as I'm living on this earth, suddenly realize that. But I know I can be a good person. And that's what I want to show you again as I started out in 1993. I want to get myself back on that track. I want to go back to work. I want to start earning my way through life instead of going down here. God said, when I get released, man, I'm going to get SSI and food stamps. I can't do that. I can't do that. And normally when I leave this institution, within 2 or 3 days, I'm working. I have a job. That's not my problem. But my problem is, I've gotten out to these halfway houses. Granted, that was my decision, to go to these places without any looking at it, finding out what it was about. And I go. I pay my $400, $500 in my rent, and try to stay out of their way. I got blamed at one halfway house, not reported to the management, that some guy had OD, but that wasn't my responsibility.
No, it's not. But Mr. Floretta, sir, we're about to go into discussion. And while we're in discussion, sir, we'll make a determination whether to deny or grant you harm arrest regular parole or absolute discharge, which you've been certified for, sir. I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so you can hear the conversation.
Take one more thing before you go. Just one more brief thing.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired. I am definitely tired. I don't have this energy for this environment. The help that I need, I can't get here. I want to go home, and I'm tired. Thank you.
All right, thanks, sir. Stay on the line. The board's going to go into discussion, sir. While we're in discussion, like I said, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line, remain silent. We'll make a determination whether to grant or deny your parole, sir. The board's now going into discussion. We've had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Floyd Allen and discuss his case and the situation with him, and that he's on a new spiritual growth that he's actually going through at this time. According to my recollection, I could be off as I tried to read his AIMS record, but I saw a total of 8 times that he was either continued on parole or granted parole during the period of time that he's been there. And each time he's been revoked and going back in. He does have 2 citations, which are both minor, and he explained those that he received this year. However, after going through all the things, I'm not convinced because of his past record that if he's released, he wouldn't reoffend or have to be revoked because of his past record and because of what conversation that we've had now. So at this time, I'm not favorable of Mr. Llewellyn being placed on regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. I don't need to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Okay, and the motion, and I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Llewellyn either regular parole, home arrest, or an absolute discharge. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. This incident happened in 1978, so there is no set off that can be done in this case. I'm going to mark the reasons for denial that it was a serious and violent offense. There was serious trauma on a young victim. Serious and deviant offensive trauma to the victim. Age of the victim. I'm going to mark serious bodily injury as he was sexually assaulted. I'm going to mark multiple victims because there was 2 burglaries, 2 separate burglaries. Violated a previous parole, I believe.
It was on probation.
Probation, yes. Mark his prior criminal history. I'm going to mark recent disciplinary infractions. I'm also going to, he has had some program, but I'm going to mark a lack of program of the amount of time that he's been back in and the amount of program that he's actually done. Those are going to be my reasons, unless the board sees some additional reason that we may add on to it or subtract. Okay, Mr. Llewellyn, you've heard the board's decision was to deny you regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. Did you hear the reasons for denial, sir?
I'm pretty sure they were the same ones.
Okay. All right, sir, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Llewellyn. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in hearing.
I'll just ask one brief question. What do I need to do?
Sir, I that one I can't answer for you, sir. That's, you know, up to you. You have to make a decision, and we base the information off of the things that we have at the time of the hearing, sir.
Yeah, nobody's telling you whatever you have to do.
There's nothing that we can advise you or give you any advice or anything to do, so we can only go by the information that we have here, make a decision based on the information. We cannot tell you, you know, what to do. You know, there could be different board members, things could change up during that period of time. We can't answer those, sir. Just over the period of time, we'll see you recertify eligible within the next 6 months or so, come back before this board at that time, sir. Again, Mr. Blue Allen, thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time, sir.